It doesn't seem to be any doubt that this gesture toward the end of his life was the one that precipitated all the animosity and congealed into a plan. Now, this was helped by Luke, by Judas. But why would our Lord, knowing full well what this was going to bring about, do this? And why was the conduct in the temple so important to him? What he saw there really disturbed him. He was very angry about it. Why? Well, there are some theories that perhaps the buyers and sellers in the temple were a part of a monopoly that had, they brought all the material into the temple, and it was automatically declared. They were looked at it and checked it out. It was all suitable for sacrifice. Well, that eliminated the little market across the Kedron where the poor people used to sell their material. And then it had to be brought in and checked out and, you know, so forth. Maybe. But I think the deep reason is in the text that all the synoptics agree to put here. Text from Isaiah. My house shall be a house of prayer. Now, some of the synoptics add, but you have made it a den of thieves, which comes from Jeremiah. Mark adds the rest of the line, my house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations. In other words, this temple, a building, splendid building, this one made by Herod, who was ruthless ruler, but wanted to gain the favor of, he was only half Jewish, he was Aramean, wanted to gain the favor of the Jewish people, and also build something that would be to his own glory. The Lord ignored that part and said, what you're doing is you are desecrating a place of prayer. And he drove them out, as you remember, in this, you know, short text here. Luke compresses the whole story into three lines, four lines. We have to try to penetrate and pray, again, I would say, wouldn't hurt today, it's Friday anyway, to take a decade of the rosary and meditate on this. And ask the Holy Spirit to help us penetrate what's really going on here. Why did our Lord do this? He knew full well what the consequences would be. Why did he do this? Because he loved the Father so much that to see a travesty made of what was meant to be worship, you know, angered him. Because he loved his people so much, he saw that this deception, this religiosity, where there should be commitment and worship, you see, was a desecration and was destroying them. And so he drove them out. Probably they were back the next day or a few days later, unless they really had a change of heart. In other words, he saw how much the Father deserves to be loved, worshipped, honored, praised, thanked. And here's the place for it. And that's not what's going on, at least among the majority of people there, evidently. It was more religiosity. So then we can ask ourselves, well, first we could start with, what's the quality of our own attendance when we're at Mass? Where's our head? You know, we're not changing money or selling animals or stuff here in the chapel. But what's going on in our head? Do we really want to worship the Father? You know, there's one point that's worth thinking about. When we pray in tongues and sing in tongues and our minds are all over the place and not really concentrated on God, that's very dangerous, you know. Because you don't know who's infiltrating those tongues at that point. You know, they're not just sort of a la-di-da. It's a gift of praise. So to pray in tongues and let your mind go anywhere it wants is a very dangerous practice. That's sort of a little, you know, reminder. So what is the Lord saying to us today? My house shall be a house of prayer. You're the temple of God. Look at Our Lady's life. If we want to have a model of what the Lord deserves, what He'd like to see in us, it would be in her heart, wouldn't it? She's the temple of God in many ways. One way, unique. Gave flesh to the Word. What kind of love, gratitude, you know, joy, intercession, worship should be in our heart? Well, we fail. Of course, that's one of the basic things of the temple, was the sacrificial system, which has been done away with, because there's one sacrifice, Jesus's. If we think about this, I think we can just, you know, think what love, what abasement, what gratitude, what affection, what transports of joy when Our Lady praised God. Just think of that. What went on in her heart at that moment? And ask her to help us to take all our unruly thoughts, our impulses, our so many things go on, and try to make our whole day, you know, worship. We'll probably never make it perfectly unless the Lord does bring us through that grace of transforming union. Then we could do that. That was the grace that the great Spanish mystics talked about in their own way. But it's the full maturity of the Christian life. To be married to the Word of God. To be transformed by the Word of God. So that every movement of our heart, our imagination, our body, our mind, our will, is under the movement and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, even those great ones fail. I mean, we're weak, we're fragile, but that's as close as you can get this side of heaven. But that's the ideal. And what would that say to us about what we entertain in our minds by way of anger, and jealousy, and lust, whatever, sullying this temple? And go to the Lord and say, look, please, do what you can with me. You know, I can't shush, and I don't have to tell you I'm not in transforming union, but do what you can with me so that I am really your temple. And there's not a lot of buying and selling and haggling and whatever going on inside of me. Or inside of us. It's a beautiful kind of meditation, isn't it? And to see, you know, now in the power of the Holy Spirit, who can apply the cross of Jesus to our lives, we can eliminate a lot of that. But it's a daily, constant, spiritual battle. It never lets up. Why? Because our sin never lets up. I mean, that's And if we call on the Mother of God, she will teach us little by little how to make our hearts like really directed to God all day. Our place, our temple, is a place of reparation. We can repent and go on. But it's a very beautiful lesson. And I think if we say, like, take one of the decades today and ask our Lord, please show me what was going on in your heart when you were that disturbed, that angry, that you just drove all those people out and cleaned it out for a day anyway. What was going on in your heart? Yeah, there was anger, but there was much more. There was love. There was sadness to see his people scattered like sheep. And there was desire. He told the Samaritan woman, God looks for those who will serve him and worship him in spirit and in truth.